truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I think they have forfeited their right to get funds.
Can you guarantee America after Obama?
I said to him, I said, Dad, you know, we've been through a lot.
The amendment is simple and straightforward. It says, remember last summer?
You're causing a disturbance.
World famous Phil Hendry Show till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The only news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Every night here, and it is a big, big job, every night here we tell you what's actually going on. We tell you whether or not what a guy says is actually the case, or whether what he said is him stalling for time, whether he said something because he's looking for more viewers or listeners, or whether he really believes what he said. We tell you whether or not there's actually news being reported as opposed to editorial policy being dictated. And then we tell you after all of those people turn the news into, you know, so much cow dung, we tell you what the news really is. Anyway, our number is 877-876-PHIL. It's a tough, tough thing to... it's a very difficult thing to get through to people, but I'll keep on trying, man. You know, I went back on the air here after doing a comedy show, basically, for 16 years. And I said, I'm going to do a talk show, and I'm going to do a straight talk show. I mean, we'll have humor, but I'm going to talk straight to people. But I wonder how I'm supposed to position myself, you know. Am I an independent? Am I a conservative? Am I a liberal? Am I a Tea Party guy? Am I a Code Pink guy? You know. Am I going to turn into one of those progressives that the great Will Ferrell has turned into, where he's putting things on the air that aren't even funny so he can slam people that are criticizing the proposed health care legislation? And I support the proposed health care legislation. But MoveOn.org ain't doing me any favors. They're not going to get that passed. In fact, MoveOn.org ought to move on, man. I mean, if you guys... You ever heard about move on? You ever heard of the concept of being in the background, just kind of backing away and let the real people push the agenda? That's a good job for you guys. And as soon as you got your mitts into Will Ferrell, suddenly one of the funniest guys in the world ain't funny anymore. So as a proponent of the health care bill before the United States Senate, one would think I'd be a big MoveOn.org guy. As far as I'm concerned, MoveOn.org... They could disband tomorrow and all head off and sleep in the park and do whatever they want to do, and the world would not, it wouldn't affect how this planet is rotating at all. Now, that's what I'm talking about. See? Like, a lot of times I'll say something, and people will say, well, I don't want to disagree with Phil because I like him. He's a nice guy, so I'll pretend like I agree with him, even though I'm biting my tongue. You know, there are people listening to me right now and say, I would never do that. I always speak my mind. Really? I don't think so. That's just not our nature as people. And it's probably polite that we don't. But on a radio show, I can do that, see? I can say, while I support many of the things that the president is in favor of, I don't like the way some people promote them. I don't like some of the people that are supporters of President Obama. I don't like a lot of the stuff they say. I think they're flat stupid sometimes. And sometimes I agree with opponents of President Obama when it has to do with certain issues that perhaps he is not actively involved in and may not be as, I don't know, as invested emotionally or politically. An example of that might be, for instance, oh, I don't know, you know, you know, anything having to do with, for instance, national security. I believe that the president is going very slowly and taking a look at the facts as they present themselves. So I don't think I shouldn't say he's not invested emotionally or politically, but he hasn't really set out a hard and fast agenda as to what's going to happen, for instance, in Afghanistan. I think he's playing it by ear and seeing how one policy, you know, how one policy may prove to be over another. And I think this is what intelligent people do anyway. I think intelligent people sometimes have to kind of feel their way with certain things that are extremely complicated. The rest of us have the advantage and the opportunity, the luxury of saying, that's wrong, that's right, that's wrong, that's right. We can go to bed, we can go to work, it doesn't matter. Presidents don't get to do that. So I understand that, and I give the guy the benefit of the doubt. I would ask you a question tonight here on the show, honest to God, because I what we talk about sometimes, I think, is beyond some people's ability to understand. I'm not putting down Fox for trying to be in business and make money. I'm just telling you, Fox and CNN and MSNBC and all those networks that gentleman mentioned, they are all in business for one reason, and that's to make money from advertisers to get viewers. That doesn't mean they have to tell you what's going on. That doesn't mean they have to tell you the truth. Telling you the truth doesn't necessarily mean they're going to make money, and they're interested in making money. So I would ask you then, what is the logical conclusion that you would draw? If they're in business to make money and they call themselves a news organization, how do they make money?
Well, they make it by doing the news.
Yeah. No. They make money by getting viewers.
I don't get it.
Well, what's to get? They're not making money telling you the news. Nobody's walking up to them with an envelope of dough and saying, "Oh, here's, if you told the news today, yeah, here's some money." They got to get people to watch them. Now, what do you do when your way of delivering the news ain't getting anybody to watch you? What do you do then?
You get on like a commentator.
Well, you can hire commentators, sure. You can do that. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you're telling people the truth about what's happening, see? Now, when your business is in jeopardy, when there's a competitor that is bleeding viewers and advertising dollars away from you, then it gets really ugly. Then it gets really nasty. Then you forget what you do for a living, and it becomes a street fight. And that means you'll say anything, you'll do anything. I mean, with any farm animal, it doesn't make any difference. You'll do anything, say anything, be anything to keep that audience, to keep that money flowing in, even if it means that you have to lie.
So you're telling me that NBC is going to do that? I don't think so.
Why would they do that? So they can stay in business. What if lying got more people to watch you than telling the truth?
That's ridiculous.
Is it ridiculous, really? I can point out on any given day instances where they are telling you something that isn't the case. I mentioned CNN last week when they misreported on purpose the Coast Guard training exercise because they didn't want to take the heat for having jumped on a story too early. So they purposefully put the heat on the Department of Homeland Security and the Coast Guard. They said, dishonestly, that this was their screw-up. They never once said to the audience, "We misreported, we jumped on the story." They jumped all over the Department of Homeland Security. I can give you examples where Fox News has done the exact same thing. And the most glaring example is their coverage of the Tea Party Express. They sit there and tell you that they're giving you the news, even as they are amping the crowd up behind the newsman, even as they are, you know, a de facto co-sponsor of what is a promotional event for a political point of view. They put their logo all over it, but they're telling you they're giving you news. Now, they're not giving you news, but they are giving you something that you want to watch. Hence, you watch, viewership goes up, advertising money goes up, but what you are not getting is news.
I think the Tea Party is news. That's what I think.
Yeah, how come you don't say it's news?
It is news, man. But when Fox puts its logo all over it, it becomes not necessarily news, but something that Fox has a vested interest in. That's when it ceases to be news on the Fox network. That's when it becomes a Fox event. That's not news. It can be a Fox event. It can be a personal appearance. It can be a lot of things, but it ain't news.
Yeah, I got to think about that.
Yeah, well, you go off and think about that, okay? So what have we learned? What we've learned is the following. If they can make money lying, if they can make money misrepresenting, and it's more money than they can make reporting accurately, they will always choose misrepresentation and lying. Always. Always. Without question. Even CNN, as badly as they're doing in the ratings battle, as badly as they've been getting their asses handed to them by Fox, even CNN is attempting to twist and and distort the information so that they can get some kind of an advantage. Why weren't they all over that Acorn story? And when they finally did get on the Acorn story, why did they make it about the people coming into the building and secretly recording and not the essence of what was being recorded? Because they were reacting to Fox, see? It wasn't that they believed that was the story. They were simply reacting to Fox already reporting the story, so they had to take a different point of view. In no instance are you being served by people who are interested in telling you what's happening. If Phil Hendry had been in charge of either newsroom that day, I would have said, put the stuff on the air. Put it on the air. Let's get interviews with these people that were secretly taped. Let's get interviews with the filmmakers. Let's find out what the people were really saying who were taped. Let's find out what the filmmakers were saying. We'll report the news. And then we'll let our commentators comment. And they'll do whatever the hell it is they want to do. I don't give a damn if they're conservative, liberal, if they've got three legs, if they're ugly, if they're mutants, if they come from another planet, we'll let them just report. But when it comes time for us to do the news block, this is what we're going to do. Is that the story? That's the story. All right. Get out there, interview the people that were secretly taped. Let's interview the people from Acorn. Let's interview law enforcement to find out if there's a crime that's been committed. Let's get the filmmakers, and let's just report the damn thing. All right, 877-876-PHIL. And remember what we always say on this show, and if you think I'm kidding, I'm not. I am dead serious. We always tell you that in this day and age where it is, as it has been for many years, just one of those pedestrian truths, quote-unquote, that politicians are dishonest, I am here to tell you, people, that you are more likely to be lied to by the television and the radio than any politician, any president, any senator, any congressman. If they lie, maybe they lie, maybe they don't. On a good day, maybe they're not lying. But every day you're being lied to by these people that you'll run out there and go, woo, when the producer tells you to go, woo, and you'll watch them do the news. And we're all excited to be on TV, but those cats are screwing with you worse than any president ever has. Understand that. And I'm telling you, you'll be way ahead of the game. Now, maybe you won't get invited back to your Tea Party, gathering. Maybe you won't get invited back to the Code Pink gathering. Maybe you will be on the outs with all of your favorite people, wherever they may be. But so what? I mean, would you rather have friends and you just want to have a bunch of gas bags to hang with? People that say they believe things, then I'm not even sure why they believe them. All right, we got Gaddafi was at the UN. He was praising Obama at the UN. See, that's the headline. But when you listen to the audio, no, he wasn't. Not all the way he wasn't praising Obama. He was making some rather stark statements about how Obama, you know, is Obama really going to do the right thing? And frankly, he'd like Obama to be president for the rest of his life. But right now, he's an unknown factor. It's not what I would call praise, you know, it's like Gaddafi praise. It's real weird, man. It's praise on acid. 877-876, world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Phil. All right. Enough of me. How about a little bit of you? Here's Carissa in Jackson, Mississippi. Carissa, how are you tonight? What's on your mind?
I am great, Phil. Good speaking with you guys tonight. But I just want to
weigh in
on the ammo issue about the shortage. You know, it amazes me at the tactics or the steps or the measures, if you will, that these people would go through to actually make money. Now, in my personal opinion, I just don't believe that there's a shortage of ammo. I mean, I think the chances are greater that we are damn run out of food before they will ammo. I'm just sorry. Look, I just think that it's a tactic to, you know, get people in an uproar. You know,
to increase demand. Yeah, to increase the demand for a product.
You have to understand economics. I'm sorry. you know.
Well, this is a story, by the way. This is from your neck of the woods, Carissa. It's from Louisiana,
exactly.
The Associated Press.
Exactly.
And it says shooting ranges, gun dealers, and bullet manufacturers say they have never seen such shortages. Bullets, especially for handguns, have been scarce for months because gun enthusiasts are stocking up on ammo in part because they fear Obama and the Democratic-controlled Congress will pass anti-gun legislation. Now, we had the NRA on the show, and the guy said, well, some of it is the military. The United States military has dibs on all the ammo, and because we're fighting a couple of wars, we're on a couple of fronts in the Middle East, there is a need for ammo. And then when you put that together with these clowns running out there and buying ammo because they think Obama's going to come busting down the door and taking their guns, you think the whole thing is manufactured from that standpoint, right? Or do you believe that there's an active campaign on the part of the ammo makers to create a fear?
I think it is, and it's always that. I don't think it's as bad as they say it is. I'm not saying that people are not buying ammo. I mean, my husband hunts, so of course he buys ammo. I mean, but
yeah.
to say that it's a shortage and to, you know, say that, you know, maybe it's a possibility, you know, that it won't be any, come the hell on. It would never be that bad. I mean, I'm just sorry. I don't believe it.
Well, I think there might be something to what you're saying. They're saying that the shortage for sportsmen is different than the scarcity of ammo for some police forces earlier this year, a dearth fueled by an increase in ammo used by the military in Iraq and Afghanistan. We're working overtime and still can't keep up with the demand, said Al Russo. He's with Remington Arms. And what he's saying is the shortage isn't for the military or for the police anymore. It's for so-called, quote-unquote, sportsmen.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I'll be honest with you. I never looked at it your way. I thought, well, if there is a shortage, this is what's causing it. But it never dawned on me that the ammo companies would want to fuel this fire so the demand stays high,
exactly.
so they make a little extra money during the.
Exactly.
I, that shows you how thick I am. But you got it together. Seriously, I mean, you know, really, I don't look for things like that because I'm afraid I'm going to turn into a 9/11 nut. You know, but you're making a very good point.
Scarcity drives
demand. You're absolutely right, Carissa.
Exactly.
I appreciate it very much. I hope your husband has a good hunting season, my dear. Thank you. You see, I stay away from that kind of thinking because I don't want anybody to think that I'm, you know, that I got a beanie on with a propeller and I'm waiting for, you know, Tower 7 to reappear, whatever. I mean, I always think, well, okay, I'm going to take it on the face. I don't have any evidence that the ammo companies are creating this artificially. I don't have any evidence that the NRA may be doing that. I don't think they would, but she brings up a good point. What the hell? Guy's got to make he's got to make a living, right? 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. And I move over here to Joe in San Antonio. Joe, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. What's going on tonight?
Hey, Phil. Good evening. It's refreshing to hear that previous caller, you know, thought like that, and it's always refreshing to hear you.
I
got to say one thing about the ammo deal. You know, if I was Remington or if I was in the business of making ammo, well, you know what? I would open up another factory and run 24/7 and make more money. You know,
put some people on the line. Yeah, hire more people. Sure. Yeah.
What I really want to say is about Afghanistan and about security and Obama on national security. People need to back off. You know, we had that general say we need 45,000 more troops in Afghanistan or we're going to lose. And people are already, you know, Obama said, okay, hold on, let me look at this. You know, mm-hmm. before people start jumping on him or jumping behind him, they gotta realize that Obama is looking at the whole story. And he's got a lot of information that you, Phil, and me, Joe, don't have. You know, there's other ways that we can achieve our objective there that we don't know about and will never know about.
Well, so, I give you this. I agree with you. And he's a different president from President Bush. I think what he's doing, and you tell me, I think what he's doing is he's saying, now, hold on, maybe if we have a larger overall policy, because after all, we are looking for Al-Qaeda. And that's what we want to get to here. I hope he's paying attention to the actual security needs of the Afghan people because we, as I said, we bailed on those people once before. I'd hate to see us do it again. In fact, it would sicken me if we did it again. But I think you make a really good you make a good point, Joe. I got to take a break. I appreciate it. Joe's point is a good one. Obama is looking at this and saying, okay, where are we now? We're 9-8 years into this thing, and where are we at? Is there something we're not seeing? Is there a way to go about this where we can really, is there a needle with some serum in it, man, we can inject into this thing as opposed to just taking a scalpel to it? Let's talk a little bit more about that. 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here. Truth is our bitch.
Phil Hendry. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Is our number, 877-876-PHIL. We got Gaddafi at the UN, and the president of the Czech Republic is a gentleman by the name of Václav Klaus. Václav Klaus. And he is an economist. He's not a scientist. But he has been, it's interesting, he has been perhaps the single loudest voice, most prominent voice, opposed to the idea of man-made global climate change or man-made global warming, or man-made global, you know, something, that there has been in this entire discussion and debate. Václav Klaus is, for all intents and purposes, a layman, but he has most recently come out and criticized the U.N. in an extremely harsh manner, saying that it was embarrassing, this global climate change conference. So we'll talk about that. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. Here is Eric in Santa Monica. Eric, what's going on tonight?
Hey, yeah, I just wanted to tell you that I heard the lady from Jackson, what I'm saying, it was a bill introduced in 2005 by Bobby Seale, former Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
And Bobby.
Where? What do you mean? Where? In California?
In California? In Chicago.
What was Bobby Seale? Was he a city? Was a city councilman?
He was a representative. He actually ran as a Republican and became a representative.
In the state of Illinois, okay.
In the state of Illinois, and what he did is introduced a bill to limit the use of sale and buying, manufacturing bullets and stuff because he believed it was causing death and destruction in the inner cities. And what happened, he brought it to committee or whatever he got it to, and it didn't get a single vote. It didn't even make it past the floor, nowhere. Mm-hmm. And that's where some talk show hosts had conjured up that Obama was going to be the one that creates this. They created this issue where he was the one that's going to limit it, and that bill had got crashed. It got canceled back in 2005.
And so you're saying that when was Obama still in the state Senate in Illinois in 2005? Because memory is failing
me. Yeah, he was.
All right, so he was painted with that brush instead, and Bobby Seale was the rightful author, and it was Obama who took the heat for that. At least Obama's the guy that's getting tagged for that by his political opponents.
Right. And what happened, some talk show hosts, I can't remember, I had heard it on a show. And McIntyre. You ever heard of McIntyre in the morning?
McIntyre in the morning. You mean the Apple? No, I'm kidding. Yes, I know Doug McIntyre. Nice guy, yeah. So is Doug, are you pushing that stuff? Get out there and do some push-ups. Do something with your life. So he was saying that, huh?
No, Doug wasn't pushing. He had straightened it out, actually.
The
election. But they were pushing it, and the Southerners were picking up on it, and they had clips of people like, Obama created this bill. He's trying to take all our bullets. And McIntyre straightened out a couple of callers about that. And that's why the shortage of ammo thing came to pass, because people were going crazy over there thinking Obama had introduced it and trying to make it like it had just started. Recently, just now, and it was
And I'm glad that you called, Eric, because I just had this discussion with my producer, who's probably right now got his head between his knees, because he told me that he thought in 2005, when Obama was in the Illinois State Senate, that Obama was the author of that. So, Jason, maybe you want to look into that rant, and I bet you're wrong, Eric. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. I'm just screwing around, you know.
Let me look into it and find out if Rance knows anything about. I'll give him a call.
Don't worry, bud. He's hearing it right now. So this cat is saying, and forgive me, because I've heard so much about Obama in the state Senate of Illinois about the whole right to life and abortion and the doctor and his record in the state Senate in Illinois has been so perverted. What's the story with line 10? All right. His record in the Senate has become so perverted in terms of the way it's interpreted, you don't know what the hell he was doing. Now we find out from this guy was Bobby Seale. I'm going to get to the bottom of this. If it takes me all night. All right, here is Tommy in Nashville. Tommy, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. How you doing?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Phil.
Yes, sir.
What happened was my family's a big NRA supporter. I has been all my life. I'm 50 years old. I spent 20 years in the military, retired. And I got a catalog earlier this month for the NRA, from the NRA, and I started looking through the catalog. The catalog's like 20 pages long, and there's over 100 items in there that are either imported, assembled in the USA, or not designated whether they're imported or from the USA or assembled in the USA or what else. So I don't get it. You know, they're so pro-USA, pro the Constitution.
Oh, okay.
And all that. And that, but they want to, you know, they'll support every other country in the world with their with the goods that the members are supposed to buy because they're pushing their NRA.
Well, now that's an interesting point, isn't it? There's an interesting point. That sort of takes a little bit of the focus off of whether or not they are adequately representing membership in this pro-Second Amendment movement, you know, which I don't know why we even have to have a movement promoting an amendment we already have, but
right.
I was worried because I was worried because so many people who had turned out at some of these Second Amendment rallies, you know, they looked a little screwy, and I'm not saying that they are, but I think there's a more sober face we could put on this so that the American people would know these aren't gun nuts, per se, you know, quote-unquote.
Well, yeah.
But instead,
those who don't know and don't get a catalog and don't look into it any deeper, they're not going to know any different. But those of us who do know, and now, you know, I'm looking through this catalog and I'm thinking, I mean, it's like looking through a catalog and I'm getting a pain like a spinal tap with no anesthetic. You know, all this time we're thinking, okay, well, you know, we're supporting the MRA, you know, they're fighting for us and all this. Well, they're not supporting our own people. And I even wrote an email to them telling them, hey, you know what, there's a ton of people out of work that need jobs, and you guys are important stuff for us to purchase to support this NRA or support our Second Amendment. What are you doing? And the guy writes me back, well, you know, the economy took a downturn, and what we had to do is we've outsourced that, and, you know, we're just trying to get stuff that the people will buy that are NRA people and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you know what, man, put a sock in it because I'm not buying it. I don't get it.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, and if there is an ammo shortage, and just like that previous caller said, all right, well, let's start ramping it up, man, and start making some ammo and putting some people to work. The NRA is promoting the import of products and the sale of products in their catalog of stuff that's made overseas. Why don't you cats at the NRA? Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I appreciate your call very much. If this gentleman is talking about, I haven't seen an NRA catalog, so I don't... And you can buy ammo and you can buy weapons anywhere you want. You don't have to buy it through the NRA catalog. But the National Rifle Association, of course, this is a whole different topic. I understand this. But I would hope that the National Rifle Association would take the advantage of promoting American-made products. I would hope any entity, any not-for-profit, any group that is an umbrella public relations arm or advocacy group would promote American products and American workers and American know-how and, you know, things that are made here and people that are working here and people that are buying here and, you know, getting the money going in our own economy, I would hope. But it sounds like a very good project for you guys so that you got something to do besides getting everybody into a sweat over whether there's an ammo shortage or not. How about that? There, I just tied it in.
That's pretty good, Mr. Henry.
Thank you. Bud Dickman and Robert Lynn. Where's Robert?
I'm over here, man. I can't stand next to him. You're breathing that sauce all over me.
You got those garlic Pringles again, huh?
Yeah.
Get them out of here, man, both of you guys. All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Don't forget, we're online at philhendryshow.com. You can watch a live-streaming video of the show right now. We're on video. Here is, I believe it's Riz in Houston. Yeah. Riz, tell me what's up.
Yeah. Phil, how you doing?
Yes, good.
Yeah, Phil. I want to make a point. First of all, I want to give you the thumbs up on your point of view on the information that we get, or the misinformation that we're getting from, you know, these talking heads, be it, you know, left wing or right wing folks. It's beginning difficult to know who's right or wrong, and, you know, it's like, how do you separate, you know, lie from Memorex? But when I listen to your show, when I listen to your show, you seem to give a good balance. You know, nowadays on talk radio, it's hard to get a good balance, you know. But that was my first point. My second point is Obama. Now, I like his vision, but to me, I don't know who's running the country now, he or Jeff Beck and then Limbaugh, because it seems as though every time, you know, he goes forward with some of his agenda on health, like, you know, let's take right now the option plan. Now he doesn't know if he wants to put it in there. And to me, I like it in there, but he's wavering on that. Then he's wavering on some other issues, and then he didn't really speak to Ron Jones getting fired. So I mean, he appears not to be the guy that.
All right, now here is Phil Henry, here's Phil Henry, the non-ideologic guy. You know, I'm about to talk to you about this now, okay? So, this is what I see as being the truth of the matter, and this is what I see as being what is really happening here, and I happen to personally, I don't like the fact that the president is allowing the perception that the American people don't want a public option. There's no so-called majority. There's no majority. We found out too late that those town hall meetings that people invaded and went ape crap in and were dropping their pants and, you know, and everything. We found out that that was the exception, not the rule. We found out that there were town hall meetings going on all over the country where people were speaking soberly about this. We now find that the perception is that the American people are against the public option. That's not the case at all. The American people are willing to open their minds and even their pocketbooks to a public option that is well-planned and makes sense and does have the support of the insurance companies. And in point of fact, we know that there's some big insurance companies do. But I have to tell you something else. I got to tell you something else. Von Jones, the things he said as an officer attached to the executive branch of the government, as an officer of the president's administration, there's no way this American, Phil Henry, would want to see that man in that position having heard the things that he said. I wouldn't want him anywhere near my president advising policy, making policy, having anything to do with the executive execution of policy in this country. I thought what he said was beyond ignorant. Maybe it's typical of certain fringe imbeciles in our country, but it had no connection to reality. And President Obama didn't say anything about it because I believe he recognizes that what Von Jones said was wrong. And to open his mouth and say anything further would probably give people an opportunity to criticize him more. So I think it was a good decision. Well, maybe,
you're right with that. But why doesn't Obama bring more clarity to the notion than that folks, the more folks in the majority that do want the option plan?
I think what Obama does, and Riz, I'll answer your question. Thank you very much. I think what Obama does, and this frustrates people, it frustrates people who aren't informed, and it gives people who are informed an opportunity to misinform. Understand that. It gives people who are informed an opportunity to misinform, and it gives people who are not informed, it gives them fits and makes them frustrated. Obama is a guy who has said that he wants to build consensus, he wants some kind of a bipartisan angle on this thing, and he wants people to contribute. When he says, I'm open to suggestions, that's his way of keeping the conversation going. That's his way of keeping the information flowing back and forth. Listen, if you guys got an idea that I can plug in here that makes sense to me, yeah, I want to hear it. Doesn't mean he's going to agree with it. It doesn't mean he's going to act on it. It doesn't necessarily mean it's a great idea, but when he says, I'm open to any suggestions you guys have where we can make this thing more feasible, where we can make this thing more amenable to you, yeah, lay it on me. Well, you see what that does is it puts the ball back on their side of the net. Now you cats have got to cough up. Oh, well, what have you heard? What have you heard from the Republicans? And I'm not giving the Democrats a pass on this. Baucus came up with some angle on trying to get this thing passed. He even put a 5-year moratorium on every time you say that, you know, somebody's going to flip. He put a 5-year moratorium on legal,
legal immigrants being covered in this bill. 5-year moratorium, just so there's no misunderstanding. No illegals and a 5-year moratorium. It was trying to move a little bit more toward the Republican side. What are they getting back from the Republicans? They got this co-op idea. This is not a new idea. It's a bunch of people get together, pool their money, and they insure themselves. You got to have someone who's going to run it. You got to find, obviously, the doctors. It turns out that it's more expensive in the long run than a public plan is. But co-op sounds good to some of these guys because, well, it's not the government, you see. You know, the government could walk in tomorrow and save you, personally, hundreds of thousands of dollars over your lifetime. And if it was the government, people would say, can't be any good. So we turn our money over to some private investment guy who winds up costing us an arm and a leg like Bernie Madoff. And we get stuck, don't we? Let me tell you something. What's the lesson we've been learning here over the last few years, especially this last 12-month period? What is the lesson we've been learning? It's a hard lesson to learn. I believe in capitalism. Of course I do. All I'm telling you is we got a bunch of crooks out there. We got some people that just, they couldn't care less whether you live or die, man, so long as your name's on the check, you know? And these people are not working for the government, folks. They're working in the private sector. And we saw what private business people and engineers and designers and private jackass. We saw what they did in Detroit. And when that kind of stuff happens, you want to know what pisses me off more than anything else? When we see an obvious failure of the private sector, what's the first fallback? Well, you know, the government had these play, you know, the law and the taxes, and the government, oh, no, come on, look at, man, I'm willing to go with you. When the government screws up, Jack, I'm there 150%. But when I see what I see, nobody's going to tell me it's the government. What I saw there were business people, engineers, industry leaders, they don't know their ass from a hole in the ground. The private insurance, the private health insurance here in the United States of America is great insurance if you can afford it. That's all there is to it. It's great insurance if you can afford it. And if you can't afford it, you don't have it. I got it. My premiums go up. Why do they go up? Well, the insurance company tells me that they're going up. See how that works? Hey, Phil, your premiums are going up. How come? Well, you know, cost of doing business. Well, I don't have any say at no. Well, you can always change carriers, or you don't have to have insurance at all. They ain't exactly doing me any favors. They're not coming to me with any touchy-feely plan. They're not telling me how much they love me and can't live without me and how fair they are with me. I'm not getting any break from those guys. Everybody talking to me about the government screwing me. I know how the government screws me, man. I've been around 56, 57 years now, God help me, and I can see how the government has screwed me. And if I don't see it, I got a million people reminding me. What I'm trying to tell you is, on any given day, in any given city, in any given state in this marvelous country, you could be getting it from both the government and the guy on the corner there who runs the hardware store, Jim. It all depends on who's in need of your money more. We'll be back here on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Qaddafi, more of your phone calls. What do you think, Qaddafi, phone calls?
How about Qaddafi on the phone?
Okay, thank you. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show, Qaddafi on the phone.
Phil Hendry.
Phil, we got phone calls coming up next hour here on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show where truth is our bitch, the only news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And we're here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, all night long, with you each and every night. And if it sounds like I'm straining a little bit, I'm getting over that throat cold that I think a lot of people have had. A friend of mine got swine back east.
You're kidding.
Nope.
Man, that swine, you got to get that Tamiflu.
Well, that's exactly what I said. I wrote them. I said, you got to get that Tamiflu, Jack. And that's what Rance told me to do. Get that Tamiflu. You can do what they're doing over at the History Channel. We were just talking about this. And as long as we have this time together, hey, History Channel, can you back off the Nostradamus specials? I mean, you got every night now there's Nostradamus. Are you guys going through your Nostradamus files and you've decided that you want to clear them out? And what is this, sweeps week for History Channel? Every night with Nostradamus, and whether he predicted
The World Trade Center. Nostradamus. Did he predict whether the Yankees are going to win the series this year? Nostradamus. Was he a seer or was he on dope? Nostradamus. Heroin addict or...
You're causing a disturbance.
Yeah. I think... Let me give you my view on Nostradamus. When he said the thing about Hister, you know, that was the one thing that everybody said. You know, oh, well, he predicted World War II because he's Hister. Sounds like Hitler. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's fine. You know what? I think that he didn't know what he was doing. I don't think he understood anything. I don't think he's a seer. I don't think he's... I think Nostradamus is one of the most famous homeless guys in the history of the world.
Yeah, but he lived in a... He was rich.
Well, I don't care. I don't even know if that's true or not. He had one quatrain, and it said...
You have been tweeting me.
Now, that one, I think, you know, that's possible that maybe he knew what he was talking about. All right, coverage of the United Nations next. We had all kinds of stuff going on over there today. And you can Twitter at twitter.com/RealPhilHenry. That's twitter.com/RealPhilHenry. And follow along behind the scenes. We'll be right back here, World Famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.